Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited
by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus. Lucky Land Casino. Asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Big Brother 23 Roundtable Podcast. I'm your host, Trent Armstrong, and this is the podcast where we talk about everything from the feeds, and we also rate the players based on how well they're doing in the game. And with me here today to rate these players and talk about this final three here for Big Brother 23 is Melissa. How are you doing, Melissa?
I'm doing well. I'm actually kind of excited to rate them because I plan on being very mean. And so that's a little fun. No, but for real, though, I am planning on being mean. But yeah, this has just been just a disaster, I would say. I've lost basically any ability to care about anything that's happening in Big Brother aside from America's Favorite Player and watching the jury members get their videos from home. That's about the extent to which I am caring right now. So yeah, this will be an interesting podcast. Hopefully we can talk more about the jury, less about the final three, and just kind of go from there.
All right. Well, also with us here is Chantel. How are you doing, Chantel?
I'm doing pretty well. I'm really curious as to what we're going to really talk about today. You know, like, I feel like nothing, no real new advances except for just like the one of today. And I'm just curious to see how we all end up ranking. And I feel like it's going to be low.
Low.
I think this might be the lowest final three.
I don't know. Last Big Brother Canada 9 was also pretty, but that was in part because any one of them could have won. It was like a situation where anybody whoever won the final HOH was going to win the game, and it was also the final four at that point. Mm-hmm. And so they were all, and it was like, well, what's going to happen? Nobody can be too high. Yeah, this one is, we have some all time bad game happening here.
You're so bad.
Sure. Not in the fun Big Brother Canada 9 way, unfortunately.
No, not in a fun way at all. I feel like normally, like, when it's like you don't know who the winner is, it's like very exciting and you're like, oh, it could be anyone. It's anyone's game. Like, let's see how they, you know, they work against each other to try and, like, you know, solidify their spot. And now it's like, okay, everyone's just working against themselves to make sure that they don't win. And now, like, it's like, it's just so bad. And they, like, don't, like, care about it. Okay, yeah, it's awful.
All it's right, well. What we will talk about here on today's podcast is the week that we have had here this week here for the final four into the final three. And then we will talk about what it's looking like we're going to see for the final part of the final HOH. And then we'll discuss what it looks like for each of these final three to win the game, how we would perceive them as winners. We can probably talk about their games a little bit over the course of the season. I have been doing full game recaps over the last couple of days with Xavier and then with Azza today. I'll be doing Big D's tomorrow. So you've got that to look forward to. And of course, then we are going to rate the players and go over the survey that I sent out earlier this morning, where the audience can rate the players. And there were plenty of other questions as well, including how we would rate Highland as a player overall. Who people think is going to win the game, and then also predicting the jury vote situation. So plenty to go over here today as we talk through this final three. Of course, the last time we spoke, it was looking like Kyland was going to be voted out by Big D. And of course, he was. And oh boy.
what an eviction. Mm-hmm. I really didn't think there was going to be any like anything like that. I was not expecting that, I will say. It was definitely exciting, but I feel like I get the sentiment of like it gets to a point where it crosses a line and then it's not so like exciting. It's more just like, ooh, I don't like this. But I thought that, you know, I did think Xavier handled it really well. I think Kyland really like, I think he really embarrassed himself. And then to sit there and be all smiley with Julie and be like, well, I hope this isn't the last time you bring me back, blah, blah, blah. It's like, okay, like, chill out. You literally just got evicted. Like, and that's been his thing the whole time is he always wants to like be brought back. And it's like, just play the game while you're there. The odds of you being brought back are very slim. Like, you need, the way you get brought back is by really going all out while you're there. And I hate the sentiment, just like I did back when Alex Ow or whatever was like saying that she wanted to lose so that she could come back and play a second time. Like, it's like, that is just so annoying to me. The fact, right? Well, yeah, obviously it worked for her, but like, I'm just saying. No, but it's like the fact that people are sitting there and being like, okay, well, instead of playing the game now while I'm in the house, I'm going to look to the future and like hope I get brought back. And it's like, why would anyone bring you back if you're not playing a game at all during the current season? It's like, just focus on the now, please. So that was really annoying. And then of course, like, you know, low blows on Kylan's part. I understand that, you know, being upset about things or whatever, but it's just like, you shouldn't take it, like, you shouldn't bring it to a personal level. You can take it personally, but you shouldn't bring it to a personal level with others. And I just feel like it was really nasty and, you know, very thrilling to watch and very just like, you know, I was sitting there like, oh, what's happening? What's going on? But it just is dirty. It just doesn't feel good, you know, so.
Absolutely. It was really icky, especially because we really wanted to see this blind side and how he was going to react. And it wasn't the reaction that I was hoping for. Mm-hmm. And with the whole case of the missing ring, I'm like, I can't believe that he literally like put that ring in his pocket to be right. Like, F you, like, you didn't keep me in this game. I'm taking your ring. And I was just like, I mean, I like petty, but all paired with like how he went out and what he was saying to Xavier. I was just, and then how he was reacting with Julie. I was like, I'm not buying into any of Kylan's antics at all anymore. I'm definitely not a fan.
Yeah, I feel like there's a difference between like Big Meech taking the like blow up like toy like inner tube thing and like running out of the house with it or whatever versus like taking someone's like deceased father's ring. Like, I feel like there's a very big difference there between like, oh, one of them is like, oh, it's funny because it's literally an inner tube. And the other one is just like, ooh. This is like bad. So I just don't, I feel like that was awful. And then to see like video proof of it was like him like pocketing it was just like, oh my God. Cause you can't even like deny it. You can't be like, oh, sorry. Like, I didn't realize I like had it in my pocket or something like that. It's like he clearly takes it and puts it in his pocket. So, you know, it was, he went out on a very bad note. And I feel like any potential that he had for like, you know, a good legacy down the line of being like this character and like being like, okay, yeah, he was annoying when he was like frustrating, but you know, he did all these things and blah, blah, blah. Like, that all is kind of gone now. I do think that, you know, people will still, I think eventually people will fondly like look on like the drama and like weirdness he brought. But like, I think also like now it's really tainted and you're going to have to be like, well, you'll have to like clarify that. It's like, well, obviously he ended on a bad note. It was like a bad way to go out. But, you know, some things that he did were interesting. So, yeah, not good for Kyland, especially if he wants to come back.
Yeah, I mean, the problem is that he wasn't ever entertaining on the show. Like, he was barely in the show.
Right.
I think that you might have been able to call Kyland entertaining on the feeds if you enjoyed his very lengthy late night conversations where he gaslit Sarah Beth endlessly. You know, you might also have not enjoyed that. Maybe you enjoyed other people's frustration at having to watch that. Maybe that was entertaining for you.
I think I like appreciated Kylan's like villainy. And I think that I also did not watch any of his conversations because I was annoyed with them. So I was like, well, we'll just find out later on what he said. And that's how I was kind of able to like tolerate it and like appreciate the fact that he brought a villain like to the show, and he brought some sort of like antagonizing, like anti-hero situation. I do think it very much so turned when he started being like, when he switched and was like, oh, I'm going to be with Xavier and I want to take the best of the end. Like that was like not, I was not having that. But I will say that like prior to that, I was able to recognize like, okay, he's actually pretty good. He was able to convince Sarah Beth, like when she was saying, no one's going to control my HOH. And he was able to do a lot of stuff that was like, obviously not in the viewer's best interest necessarily, but it was impressive, his manipulation tactics. And I think that like, as a villain, had he not taken it to this level, it could have been like a interesting to watch like the rise and fall of Kylan. But I do think he kind of soured it on his way out.
And I think for me, the reason why the only reason why I liked Kylan was because he was on The Queens. I think that that's what allowed us mm-hmm. to really get to know him and want him to stay safe. He was working with Tiffany. He's working with Claire. Right. We knew Travis is out already. And so we wanted to support his decisions and what he was doing. And so I think that that's why I liked him. And then when that was all dismantled, I was like, oh, wait. Maybe I don't really enjoy this person as much anymore without having the Queens that as, you know, the backbone of like me liking him as a character or as a player.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Definitely.
Yes. Well, Kylan is gone. And that leaves us with the final three of Xavier, Azza, and Big D. And as we talked about, perhaps one of the worst final threes. gameplay wise we have ever seen, primarily dragged down by Big D and Azza to a degree, as we look at some pretty ridiculous things going on. So first, Xavier made the decision to cut Kylan with full knowledge that Azza did not intend to take him to the final two. She said, under no circumstances am I taking you, I'm not an idiot. Fully aware of this, said, the numbers are still in my favor. I just have to beat Azza. So he brings Azza to the final three. He wins part one of the final three HOH. Azza wins part two of the final three HOH. She is still saying that she is going to cut him. And here's what's happening. Throughout all of this, Big D, as I'm sure you have heard many times now, is constantly ragging on Azza, saying that he dragged her here, that he's had to put up with her all season long, saying that she doesn't deserve to be in the end, that Kylan deserved it more, that he's feeling so bad about evicting Kylan, it would have been so much easier to evict Azza. And so many things that he is constantly saying about Azza. Azza said to him at one point today, it would be one thing. I was able to shrug it off when you said it once. I was able to shrug it off when you said it twice. You say it so many times, Big D, you will not let me hear the end of it. And when she approaches him about how he is constantly demeaning her, he says, what, do you want me to lie to you? Is that what you're saying? You don't want the truth? You can't handle the truth? You just want me to lie to you? That's what you're... I feel like I'm being punished for being honest. Amongst many other things that he is saying to her that I could not possibly even get into or summarize in just one explanation. You just have to listen to the live feed updates because it is absurd the amount of, crap he throws her way. And, in the meantime, she is spending a lot of time cuddling up with Xavier and complaining about Big D, and Xavier is saying, what? No, you totally deserve to be in the end. And she's asking him, would you take me? And he's like, well, no, but only because I made the deal. If I didn't make the deal, it would be a much harder choice because you definitely deserve to be in the end. And it's like, great manipulation skills, Xavier. You've cleared the big D bar. And Azza is going to start considering taking Xavier to the end, at which point Big D gets even more defensive and angry. And she then eventually lets Xavier know, I'm leaning toward taking you. And he literally says, oh, is that right? Like, yeah. Well, thank you. I appreciate that.
Why as Xavier, like, what I don't know. And I guess here's the thing is I think I, in this season in particular, I don't know what the answer is, but like, my thought is like, why would Xavier be tell Azza, I'm taking Big D because of the deal, but like, if I didn't have that deal, I would have taken you, but I have to take him. Like, well, like in a normal season,
it'll be a tough choice. If not,
but like in a normal season, he would say, well, I made this deal with Big D, but honestly, like I am considering like what I have to consider what my best situation is. Like, and I don't really know who I'm going to take, like, you know, and then tell Big D on the side, like, look, I'm obviously taking you, but you know, I'm just trying to make her feel better or whatever he wants to say. But then to Azza kind of say like, hey, it's, you know, it's kind of open. I don't know. And normally on a season, I would say, that's the move. Why aren't you doing that? However, I do think that like, if he had said that to Azza, Azza might be like, you know, then I don't want to take him because then I think he's not a good representative of the show because he's lying and going against his deals and he's not being honorable. And it's like, I don't know what to do anymore.
Xavier is actually telling her that he was lying and deceiving throughout the game and that that was what he had to do. He said, I just get the job done. And stuff like that. So it's not that he's played an honest game that she wants to bring him. She said that, it's primarily Big D. I mean, she told Big D it's literally has nothing to do with Xavier. It's everything to do with you, as well as she doesn't want to see Xavier get third place. She wants him to get some money for his nephew. And I will say, I have said this before in defense of Xavier, and I will say it now. I do not think he uses his nephew as a strategy. That is genuinely just why he's there. And she, you know, that is, I think, a factor in this to a degree. But I think another factor in it is genuinely just that he is not dumb enough to, when Azza asks, do I deserve to be here, say no. And that has not always been the case either, because earlier in the season when she asked him if she carries her weight in the game, he was like, I wouldn't put it that way. Maybe you've done stuff I haven't seen. But he has managed to take one step forward from that, and he is clearing this Big D bar here. this is genuinely my ideal outcome. I mean, the ideal outcome was that Xavier actually did something that I cannot tell you how many times I've said this on a podcast, but I am desperate for Xavier to actually make something happen, because I would feel so much better about him in the season and everything if he did. And I'm desperate to give him credit, but he gives me nothing every single time. And so, this is where we are.
Everybody that's left gives us nothing.
Well, and with Big D, like, I just don't understand why he can't just be like, hey, Azza, isn't this amazing? Two jokers in the end. Wouldn't that be a trip? Brittany would have to choose between the two of us. Like, Frenchie would be so proud of us for getting to the end. Like, why isn't he playing up on the jokersness of, like, their journey throughout the season? It baffles me completely that he's really just harping on all of her faults when she could realistically allow him to get some money. I don't understand any of the logic behind it, the rationale, like none of it. Like, you're supposed to be your best friend. Don't you want to be like having fun with your best friend in the final two? It's just beyond me.
Yeah. And I think it just goes to show too that like he clearly thought that Azza had no chance of winning the final HOH because he was like, yeah, I'm going to win this. She has no chance. Xavier won the first part. I'm going to win the second part. And like, so I literally don't care if I'm like telling her that she hasn't pulled her weight and that she's not doing anything and that we're having fights and blah, blah, blah. Like, he just like didn't care because he thought that there was no chance that it mattered what she thought of him. Now, oh, come to find out, yeah, it kind of does matter. And also, she's not just going to like bring him along, even though that probably be her smartest. It's like, it's one of those things where it's like everyone's making moves that's bad for them and they're just doing the wrong thing. And I'm not impressed by any of the final three. I think that they're all bad. I guess like the lesser of the three bad players, the three evils, I guess, is Xavier, just because like previously he had made some moves and we were kind of impressed with his game in the beginning of the game. And he's actually done a bit more things. But I think part of my issue with everybody that's left is the fact, and I guess maybe not Azza, because she's not really the one who's leading the charge on this, but the fact that they are so wrapped up in themselves that they can't recognize what the heck has happened this entire game. Like, they clearly have no view as to what really went down this season. And the fact that they're so confident that they know what happened and that they controlled it is just beyond me. I don't know where they're getting their information from. And the fact that they're so confident about it is like, it's baffling. It's just, it's infuriating too, the fact that they're downplaying, you know, all of the women in the house and what they've done. And the fact that this season that we had such strong women, like, players, like for one of the first seasons, it was like, wow, all the girls are great. There's not a single bad girl in the bunch. Everyone, it's so impressive. And wow, guys are getting out one by one. It's going to be a women owned season. And then we end up with Big D and Xavier in the end. Like, I'm sorry, but this is like the worst outcome. It's very disappointing. And you know, yes, Azza is a woman and all that, but she's like gung-ho about giving up her game and not winning. She like doesn't care. She doesn't want to win. She wants Xavier to win. So like, I'm sorry, should I be like happy and pleased with that? Because I'm really not happy with anybody that's left over. And I feel like this is like such a disappointing end to the season. It really just like takes the guts out of you, because it was so strong in the beginning for so long. And I felt like, wow, Big Brother is, it's a new era. This is a new thing. And yet we're once again having this like terrible ending, and I'm very disappointed. And, you know, what you can say about last season, as like depressing as it was the whole time, at least Cody did stuff the whole season and he earned his win. I don't think any of these three have earned a win at this point. And it's very frustrating that they think that they have gone above and beyond and been controlling the whole season. And they're like the best game player ever, top tier winner. Like, I'm sorry, any three of these people that win are going to be bottom tier winner for me. Like, that's just the way it is at this point. So what can you do? We're at this point. That's that.
Yeah. Well, Big D has launched a counteroffensive today. He's been trying to be more joyful and funny. And he's talking to Azza a little bit. And Azza said, yesterday I was like 70-30. Now I'm more like 55-45 on taking Xavier. So she has come back around a little bit, but there's not much time left here. And I personally don't think it's going to really, unless he gets to her tonight, I don't think this is going to change. I think she will be taking Xavier. But it's not locked in, because it is entirely up to Azza's whims. And Xavier refuses to like really lock it in. That's where we are. That's where we're set up to be. It's going to be Azza versus Xavier, but it likely will not matter what the outcome of this competition is. Except for who gets second and who gets third.
I'm honestly, you know, I just keep feeling like Azza is playing as if she's like a viewer. I feel like she's like, what would I like to see as a winner? Like, I'd like to see Xavier. And she's not playing as like a game player. And I feel like that's the way she's been playing the whole time, where it's like she's just kind of been like watching on the sidelines and hasn't really been involved. And then it's like, now she gets to the end and it's like, well, what would we like to see as the outcome? I don't know.
Well, I think it's actually the opposite. I think that Azza is playing for herself and what she wants. And she knows that the viewers will not like this. She knows that America is going to have a lot to say about this decision, and that it might look a certain way. But it's how she feels in her heart. And it's what she thinks that, she's very religious. She feels like this is sort of God's will. And it's what she feels like she needs to do in the game. And I can respect that, even though I don't like it. I don't think it's playing to the audience.
Okay, is there any world if Azza wins the final three, she takes Xavier, and in her speech, she explains the fact that she's kind of mad at Big D. She didn't want Big D to not get to get any money, and she wanted to give this to Xavier and maybe lean into being the potentially the first Black female winner. And she has a better read on the house and on the game than Xavier would. And so what if she was like, being completely honest, where she was standing in the game, like show that she really understood what was going on in her specific role, while you would have Xavier like kind of pumping up his ego with like, I did this and I did this. Do you think that the juxtaposed, would she be able to maybe sneak out a win?
Again,
I mean, I would if I was in the jury house and, like, and someone was sitting there saying like, I did this and I did that. And I'm like, no, you didn't. Like, you clearly had no idea what was going on. Now you're pretending like you've done all this stuff. Like, and if Oz is just being realistic and is like, yeah, no, I didn't do all that much, but I was in the cookout and, you know, blah, blah. I won some competitions down the stretch. Like, you know, give it to me. I might then reward that because at least then she knew what was happening in the house. Yeah. And I feel like that's the way it is right now. Like watching them talk is like us at least, like if she doesn't know something, she says she doesn't know it. And if she like knows it, she says it correctly and doesn't embellish like what she's done or her position in the game. And so I feel like I would give credit to that.
Yeah, I don't think that there's anywhere near a long enough questioning segment to reveal that kind of information, though. Like, you know. Even if Xavier wanted to explain like all these things that he didn't do, I mean, it reminds me a little bit of you know, when we talked about Paris versus Kayla in Big Brother Canada 6, where it was like we had heard Paris's speech for the jury, and it wasn't exactly the most accurate thing in the world. Not quite as bad as not nearly as bad, I should say, as Xavier's or certainly Big D's. The less time they have to talk, the better for players that don't understand the game.
Yeah, true. True. Cause then all they have to do is just be like, look, like, you know, I was part of the cookout and won some competitions and blah, blah, blah. And then they don't get time to be like, I am the mastermind. I ruled this whole house. Although I could see Big D giving a speech like that for sure.
It's the only reason why I'd want him in the final two is just to see what that's
going to be all
about.
Yeah, see what he says. Oh, my God.
Big D for sure will, I think, continue to tank himself. Xavier, I do think, is smart enough to focus on the most solid things he has, which is, look how many people wanted to take me. Look, I was a big threat, and I won the competitions when I needed to, and I did what I had to do, okay? And he'll be like, yeah, all right.
Yeah, he's right.
So underwhelming.
Yeah, seriously.
I never played selfishly. That's my biggest pet peeve. Is I hate it when people play selfishly. That's what he says. Don't give it to one of those bad apples like Tiffany or Island. Anyway. So that's what we have here for our final three in terms of what we're looking at. Let's talk about, we've been talking a little bit about, you know, them as players as in this final three. What about as winners? How would we look at them? Melissa, you said that all three would be a bottom tier for you. I actually did poll the audience here on the winner or the potential winners here. I asked them how they would rank each player as a winner of the show. And I gave them the tiers that we had for the Legacy Watch. So bottom tier, low tier, middle tier, like, good tier, great tier, and top tier and in the Pantheon. And obviously Big D lands in the Pantheon.
Oh, for sure.
We don't even need to talk about that one. So I'd ask where would you rank each player as a winner of Big Brother? Big D is very, very solidly in the bottom tier. I'm reasonably certain it's the lowest score I've ever seen doing this. It couldn't be closer to the bottom. I don't think, I mean, I can tell you how many people didn't put him in the bottom tier There were a total of, oh, wow. Okay. 7 people put him in the Pantheon. Congrats, people.
His friends, I guess.
Yeah, 7 of over 1,000 put him in the Pantheon. A bottom tier here for Big D. Azza also was put in the bottom, as she would be a bottom tier winner. Even if she changed her mind and took Big D and won the game, people think that she would be a bottom tier winner. Are you guys on the same page here?
Yeah,
absolutely. With my winners, I want them to want to win the game.
Yeah, I don't want them to just fall into a win.
That's it. that's something that I just want them to do, is I want them to want to win. They may not play or whatnot, but when they get to the end, whether it's the taste of the money or the taste of the title, whatever it is, I just want them to want to win. And mm-hmm. Azza does not want to win. And I can't get behind that. It's just it's not fun for me to have somebody that has an opportunity that so many people would give a lot for, and she's just kind of like, you know what, I don't really want this win. I don't want to, it's not about the money for me. I want to give it to you, Xavier. And I'm just like, no, I want you to win because you're playing this game.
Right.
It's not who you can give the money to, who you think deserves it more. I'm like, it's just, yeah, it's too frustrating. So, and we know how I feel about Big D. I don't think that he deserves to even be in the final, in the jury. I think he should have been out a long time ago, but you can rest at the bottom of the Legacy Watch.
Yes. All right. So what about Xavier? Xavier here. The audience puts Xavier just cracking into the middle tier. He is just cracked into the middle tier for the audience. And I completely agree. I think that's exactly I think that, again, Xavier has strengths. He, he is able to not make mistakes but he does make mistakes. He doesn't make as many mistakes as the other people in this particular season. And he was, I say that, but he has made a lot of mistakes. It's really just in comparison to people like Kyland and Azza and Big D, and even Tiffany to a degree, he made fewer mistakes than them. But Tiffany is a very flawed kind of aggressive player. And Kyland is Kyland, and Big D and Azza are Big D and Azza. It's really, again, a low bar to clear when it comes to not making mistakes. And so I do think he's a good competitor. And I think that he is a charming guy, for the people that he wants to turn it on for. But that's not always the case, or at least it wasn't always the case in this season. And so I do think that there's something here. I think that something I've been thinking about a lot is how to compare him. I thought a lot about a Casey comparison a little while ago. But even Casey was, I think, a little bit more involved in the day to day than Xavier was in terms of strategy. And she was also, I think, a better competitor. And actively maintained relationships with more members of the jury than Xavier has. So I thought he was a better version of Casey. I think he's actually maybe more on par, if not, maybe not even, but we'll see. I also think that JT on Survivor, JT, I think some mixture of JT and Bob from Survivor, they were both seasons of Survivor where players in the game just kind of went wild, and we're like, let's just give the win to somebody because we feel like it. That was Bob's win in Survivor Gabon, and JT's win. He for a long time was seen as this god tier player because on Survivor, there's this, you get the edit, and everybody just wanted to give him the win. It was like, what kind of mist does this man have that everybody just wanted him to win the game? And then he came back multiple times and was not nearly as capable or impressive in subsequent runs at the game. Some Survivor fans may disagree with me on the JT opinion, but I think that this is sort of sometimes the stars just line up, the planets line up, and somebody walks and chaos unfolds around them and they're about to step into a fire, but it goes out and they just keep walking and they're like, wow, I'm so good at this. And that's really how it is felt here with Xavier. And I would not say this if he was not so adamant about all of these things that he keeps getting wrong here in the end game, is showing off his limited perspective throughout the entire game. He lived in his bubble, and nothing ever really had to pierce it except for an occasional, you know, Kylan or Tiffany move that interfered with it. And he got me really upset. What are you doing? This is my bubble. And so. That's unfortunately where I have to land here. And it's not where I want to land. I really felt like I loved Xavier coming in. I love that he's a fan of the game. I love that he's a fan of Dr. Will. I really thought he was very funny and entertaining coming into the game. I loved his camera talks. I loved his diary room. I was like all in on Xavier and I was just waiting for him to do something. And then he just never did. And that's where the frustration comes in. So unfortunately, middle tier for me is about where it stands.
It is very unfortunate because he did come in, you know, and we were all excited about him. If you look back at our ratings, we were rating him and Tiffany like super high and everyone else, you know, like just fine. And, you know, it sucks because I feel like he's one of those players that, you know, he comes in and he's kind of playing a low key game, but you can tell he's good and he's smart and he's got that strategy aspect. And then they're laying low. It's the first half of the game, you know, you just got to lay low. We're just going to wait it out. And then it's like, it just never ends up kicking on. Like nothing ever ends up happening. He kind of just ends up just like floating along near the end and not really doing anything. And I feel like it sucks because you want to see that. And I feel like we've had that for a few seasons now is like some player, one another, whatever, just like playing that, like go to sleep for the first half and then like wake up for the second half, but then forgetting to like wake up and you just like miss that like end portion of the game. So, you know, I've been a little disappointed in that. And I feel like we keep getting duped every time because we think like, okay, this person, okay, Dennis needs to stop going back and forth. He's just like back. He's not doing it intentionally. He's like grabbing stuff, but like, sorry. So it's like, oh my God. Anyway.
So I definitely think that how I judge my winners is if I like them and want to see them play again and want to see, okay, so like with their strategy and their gameplay, like how would they do in another situation? How would they do with a different group of house guests? And I don't have that at all. I'm not interested in knowing his thought process and his strategy, like, cause I didn't feel that he has any. And so that just puts him definitely smack dab in the middle for me because it's like, he wasn't bad. He got to the end. He has people that like him and are willing to vote for him. So we got to give him props for that. But do I want to see him play again? No. Do I think he would do well if he played again? Probably not. And do I think he would have played well if it wasn't for the cookout? I don't think so. So yeah, middle tier for me. Nothing excites me about his game.
Yeah. And, you know, again, the thing for me is like, you know, any sort of defense or like argument in favor of Xavier's game is one that Xavier wouldn't even recognize. It has nothing to do with what Xavier says he did. You know, like, oh, well, he has such a great social game that he didn't need to do anything. He was just sitting back, you know, waiting and you know, he knew that he was safe and so on and so forth. But that is not how he describes even his own game. He thought he was the power player making the decisions, making the moves. He thought that he wasn't being targeted by anybody, despite the fact that about half the house, in the first few weeks was looking at him and targeting him. He doesn't know it. Like he can't make a defense of his game, that is nearly as good as most people on the outside who can generalize things, could. And genuinely, if you have like a really good argument for why Xavier, did something really great, I would love to hear it because I would love to be convinced. But I've seen some people argue that, you know, hey, you don't need to be active in the game to be good at the game. And I can agree with that in some cases, but that's not his argument. That's not the game he tried to play. And so it's not a repeatable game for him at all. And I would say overall that, like, you know, awareness, adaptability, those are major, major things for a player, because they are evidence that the player knew what they were doing and they are capable of adapting to different situations and scenarios. And that's what I look for in a player and who has done well, who has played a good game. And that's what I have not seen in Xavier at all. And we can debate about whether those points are actually that useful, maybe, but for me, it's a huge thing. And we just haven't seen it. And it's really unfortunate. And I would love to talk to Xavier after this season ends and run through his game and have him tell me, you know what? With just a small change in perspective, I see that I played a different game than I thought, but it was, you know, now I understand how my game worked and I could repeat that. Like, that would be great. And I would really love to hear him say something like that. And I feel like maybe he will tell me that when we get out. But as of right now, when he just keeps talking about these things that are just not true, non-existent, and completely limited to his scope of the game, it's frustrating to listen to, because I want his game to be better. So that's my rant.
And I think one of his worst offenses also is the fact that he's like, oh, Tiffany, oh, worst player. Oh, she wouldn't even made it to jury without the cooker. Oh, like, so bad. And it's like, wait, you can't even see, like, you don't have to say that she was the best player. You don't have to say that she made the cookup happen. You don't even have to say any of that. But just to recognize that she was an integral part of that system being able to move forward together as a unit, like, not seeing that at all or giving any credit to that at all means to me that he's just a terrible game player and he doesn't really see his game or the game that was being played around him.
Right. I feel like it's hard to say for sure, but from my perspective, I think without the cookout, I think Tiffany and Hannah and
Claire and Derek.
And I think within the cookout, though, I think Tiffany and Hannah make it further. I think that Big D probably still makes it far, to be honest, because people would probably drag him along. Because he can't win, blah, blah, blah. I kind of feel like Azza could have gotten out earlier, but mid season, like where Brittany gets out basically. Cause it's like, you know, you just got to get someone out at that point. So I could see that happening. But I think Xavier gets taken out right away without the cookout. Like, I don't think that their games are, I think they needed the cookout in order to get to this point. Without the cookout, I think they struggle.
It would have been Xavier over Christian, probably.
Yeah, because, exactly. You know,
Tiffany loves Christian. Yeah.
And there were so many times people were like, let's get Xavier out. We need to get him out. She's a strong player. People were saying that all the time. And then the cookout caused people to kind of look in other directions because of this reason or that reason. Whereas if they didn't have that cookout in the background working on his behalf, he would have gotten taken out long ago. So it's frustrating to see, like, that he's sitting there saying that, like, they dragged like Tiffany and Hannah along when like, and Azza along when that's not the case literally at all. It's just frustrating to see the players, and this has been mentioned on the podcast, but the players who benefited the most from the cookout talking about how they were like the ones who caused Tiffany and Hannah to benefit. Like, no, like they got dragged down because of you. Like, you didn't drag them along, like, you ruined their games. So, you know, it is frustrating to see that, I have to say. Just because, you know, I want Tiffany and Hannah to get their flowers. I feel like they're not getting the respect that they deserve. I think that, the way that the remaining players are bad-mouthing them, and to be honest, mainly Big D and Xavier, like, I think it's mainly Big D, and I think Xavier kind of like, he's very good at mirroring people. And so like when he's in a room with Big D, it's like, they're going to talk bad about Tiffany. But I think that if it was like, he was in a room with Hannah, Xavier was with Hannah or something, I don't necessarily see Xavier talking bad about Tiffany in that situation. So I do think that like Big D brings out the worst in Xavier, but I think that the fact that they're constantly harping on how like terrible Tiffany was and how awful she was when like that's the exact opposite of what it is, it makes me not trust makes me not see their games. Like, I just feel it makes me think that they don't know their own games, so they don't know the game. And it, that makes me value their games less, is absolutely the fact that they just won't recognize that Tiffany was a great player and Hannah as well. Like, yeah, did literally anything.
And that's like, that's what I keep trying to convey. And it's difficult. I know a lot of people have tuned out of the feeds, you know, over the last week or so, or maybe even longer. But genuinely, the best case that can be made against Xavier's game is just turn the feeds on and listen to him talk about it. If you haven't mm-hmm. done that, and you think that he has played a game that is, you know, he played this way because of this, and he needed to do this or he didn't need to do this, just listen to him talk about his own game. And that is the best argument that I could possibly make for my point. Genuinely. So that's what we've got. You can also listen to the game recap that I did yesterday over Xavier's game.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details. With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
All right. Are we ready to rate these players?
Let's do it.
All right. Let's pull up the Stockwatch and we'll give some ratings here. There we go. And then we're going to do this. And then we're going to do this. And there we go. Okay.
It's so weird to see it so small. Like, it's like, it starts out with this like big looming, like, oh, we have to rate every player. And then by the end, it's like, oh, just three little ratings. So weird to see it.
Yes. All right. So with only three players, we're going to get into this. We're going to rate the players from 1 to 10, 1 being the worst, 10 being the best, 1 being basically no chance to win the game. They couldn't have played this more poorly than they are. And 10 being basically a lock to win the game and playing amazingly. We're going to try and figure out what's going to happen here with these final ratings. And we will start with Azza. Chantel, where do you stand on Azza?
Well, I do think Azza has a chance to win this game. She's has put herself in the position where she could potentially win the final head of household. Hopefully, maybe her studying that she's been doing all season is going to come out. And she will be able to, there is a possibility that she can put herself in that final two chair. But with how she's been talking about what she's going to be doing, I don't know if I can, you know, reward her at all. And so I'm going to have to give Azza, even though she has a shot at winning this game, I think I have to give her a 3.
3 from Chantel. Yes. Melissa, what do you think?
This is a tricky one because I feel like because she has a little bitty chance of winning, even though she's doing her everything she can to not get that chance, you know, I feel like I need to give her a 2, but I already gave her a 2 last week and she's doing worse this week. So, you know, it's like, I don't know. I feel like I think I might just be mean. Honestly, I might just be mean just because I'm fed up. I just like, honestly, when someone's sitting there saying they don't care if they win, they don't want to win, they want Xavier to win, they don't even care what their best move is because they don't want it. Like, that just makes me think, like, I just can't, I can't reward that. And I love how it's like reward that with a two. but, you know, oh God, I don't know. The fact though that she's saying that she might, I mean, she's thinking about it now. We don't know. I don't think she'll take Big D, but like she is thinking about it. And if she does take Big D, I do think that she wins. So, I mean, that's something, but I'm annoyed that she doesn't care about winning. And if someone doesn't care about winning, not only doesn't care about winning, but what wants to see some, like actively wants to see someone else win, they just can't get it from me. So she's a one.
The one from Melissa. I'm seeing that Azza right now is proposing to Xavier because she was able to squash some things with Big D. She's considering an alternative solution. She wants to ask Big D, all right, take all deals, all friendships, take everything off the table. If you did not have a deal, who would you take to the final two, Big D, if you had the option? And she is proposing that whoever he says between Xavier and Azza, that person will take him to the end and the other person won't.
I feel like that's an interesting proposition. I feel like it's like he then has to pick who he thinks is going to win the final HOH. Cause like, that's what, I mean, do you think though that X would go along with this and act like, do you think he would actually go along with this? Or do you think that he would be like, yeah, sure, let's see. And then like still take
win
victory.
And then doesn't matter. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, yeah. I can't imagine that him like saying yes to that because he wants a sure win and he's motivated by winning this game. And so Azza, he probably still wins, but it's a little bit more difficult. So I don't think that he would really go with that plan at all. What does that help him?
He thinks that Azza can beat him. He said so on the feed, so or to the cameras. So I don't think there's any chance he takes Azza to the end, regardless of this. I don't think he is agreeing to this proposal as it's happening here. But it is giving Big D an opportunity to
like game.
To all he needs to do is say, I would take you, Azza.
Yeah, exactly.
And that's why it's like Xavier hasn't done this because it's literally all Big D needs to do is just say, I would take Azza.
Right.
And she's
and she's like, okay.
Xavier now might come in third place. That's all it takes. But Big D can't even muster that. I can't do that. I can't lie to Azza. And there's just like the ridiculous amount of crap that he's thrown her way is just unbelievable. Here's the thing. Azza, as Melissa explained, Azza does have a chance to win, but only because she might change her mind. Like Azza's chance to win relies on Big D doing something, anything. Not terribly.
Right.
Like there's just nothing. There's no words. I respect Azza as a person.
Right,
I'm not gonna trash her decision. And honestly, I can even understand her decision based on everything that Big D is doing in the game. If she genuinely does not care about that money, does not care about the win, that's her, those are her, her values. She doesn't have to care about the things that I would care about or I want her to care about. And if those things are true and she doesn't care about those things, then hell yeah, I would not take Big D to the end after everything he said to me. So I can fully understand and respect that decision, but on a game level, it is bottom of the bottom tiered kinds of decision making, and I also have to give Azza a one here.
Oh, the fact that considering, so painful.
If we have a winner that was a one on the Stockwatch, I think that's going to be so insane. Like that's going to be crazy if Azza wins this game and she was a one, or if Big D wins or whatever and he's a one. Like man,
Oh my God. I was like, oh my God, I'm still going a little bit too high. I was like, cause I was fluctuating between a 2 and a 3, but you guys really went to the bottom. All right.
Oh yeah.
Okay.
Well,
and it's hard because it's like, I like Azza as a person, like outside of the game context. Like, it's like, I think she's fun. I think she's funny. I like her singing and her dancing and the songs that she makes and everything. Like, I just think she's a fun person, but it's just like, the game is just not for her. Like, she just doesn't care enough about it. And like, that's the hard thing is like, you know, if we're rating on personality, I'll give her a much higher score. But if we're rating based on game and she doesn't care. So it's like, you know, what am I going to do?
Yes. Well, the audience agrees with Chantel on this one. They gave Azza a 3. So the 3 is there for Azza from the audience.
Phew. Not by myself here.
Okay. I mean, what more is there to say about Big D? Melissa?
He's just so bad. He's so bad, but so delusional. I feel like it's one thing to be like, okay, well, you haven't really made any moves and you're not really doing anything, but you're in the end because, like, you know, you've been dragged there essentially. And that's fine. People have played like that before. It's not fun to watch and I don't love it and I don't want to reward them with a win, but, like, you know, that happens. But the fact that he thinks that he is this strategic mastermind and that he's so frustrated and annoyed with the other players who think that they've done something because really they haven't done anything and he was the one who carried them. Like, what do you think you've done? What do you, like, I really want, like, Taryn, when you guys interview him, I want you guys to ask him, like, what moves did you make? Like, what did you do in the house? Like, name three moves you make, and you can't say I formed the cookout or I did this. Like, you can't say things that didn't exist or didn't happen or whatever. Like, you can't, it's got to be real moves that deserve a win.
I planted the seeds to get Whitney on the block.
How, what, when, what'd you say?
I went to Christian and I said, hey, that Whitney, that blonde one, she's got to go.
See, and then this is what you have to do, Taryn, is come with the receipts and be like, actually, the reason why this person got put on the block is because this and that.
Yeah, tune in tomorrow morning where I do that. For instance, when he said that to Christian, afterwards Christian went, now I really don't want to go after Whitney.
See, exactly. That's the thing, is he just needs to be confronted with the fact that, like, no, all the things you thought you did really didn't do anything. It's just, he's so deluded. And it's one thing, and here's the thing, is like, I want to like him because he's this, like, personality, or like in the beginning of the game, it was like this personality, this funny guy, like, you know, he had his little TikToks or whatever. And it's like, you want to root for that kind of person. But the fact that he's so, like, hateful towards Tiffany and towards, like, women and towards whatever, it's just, it's so off-putting and it makes me not like him as a person. And I don't like that because I want to like him, but I just can't. And I just feel like, maybe it's a thing where it's just the game has gotten to him or something, but it's been very frustrating to watch and really not fun at all. And the fact that he's just, he basically talked himself out of a second place guarantee. It's just so bad. It's beyond bad. He's one of the worst players ever. So yeah, he's obviously getting a 1.
Yeah. I mean, people have been asking me, before, could you give a rating lower than a 1? Could you give somebody a 0? And it's always been like, haha, funny joke. I've never in my life thought more about, there's got to be something lower than a 1.
There's got to be something.
It's a 1. It's a 1. I feel like I've said it before. I mean, I said, like, I think on the roundtable probably over a month ago that Big D is perhaps the worst player of all time. And you know, that's obviously a very subjective thing. There are people that went out first and had played terrible games and got themselves evicted very quickly, but we never... Of the people we have seen in extensive history of Big D playing this game, there's not one redeemable quality. And he is so, 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 so bad at this game that I feel the most confident in saying that he is the worst that I have seen in this game. So, yeah, oh, it's a 1 for me. And that's just the way it is.
I was going to come in and ask, I'm like, can we do a zero or a minus one? Like, I feel like a one is too high here. And, you know, we've obviously talked a lot about like how his game has been terrible, but like he is actually someone that actively ruins his own game. It's not even like he's ruining somebody else's inadvertently, or like, you know, he's being swept along and he's in this position, which he was. And then he, you know, he knows where he is and he's able to at least still try to win at the end. Like, he's actively the only person that's tanking his game. And like, I can't give him a one even. Like, I want to give him a zero because like, that's against the purpose of this game. Your purpose is for you to win, get yourself advanced further, not to completely ruin your own game. So, I mean, I can't do anything lower. So it's got to be a one for me. But like, I'm just appalled, shocked. Like, I can't even believe that his game exists because it's kind of unfathomable, really.
The audience agrees with us. They gave him a one as well. It's going to be straight one here, Big D, in the final three.
That's crazy. Yeah. I really do think this is like our lowest final three.
Coming into this final three, he was guaranteed final two, and he's getting straight ones.
It's bad. It's embarrassing.
But hey. Just wait until Azza sees the episodes. She's gonna finally realize why Big D was in the right when he berated her all that time.
I can't wait till Azza realizes that, like, I can't imagine being in Azza's position because also, like, she doesn't know really, like, what all has happened in the game. No one who's in the house can fully know exactly what has happened in the game. Like, even if you're controlling a lot of stuff or whatever, like, you're not going to know every single detail. So obviously she's like, well, I don't know exactly what happened because she's realistic and she's normal. But then you got two people in the house being like, yeah, no, you haven't done anything and you've been carried. Like, you would start to think like, well, maybe I have been carried. Like, they must know a bunch of stuff that I don't know because that wasn't my perspective of it. But I guess like if they're saying they're the masterminds and it's two people against just me, like obviously like they probably are right and I'm wrong. And I'm sitting there as Azza being like, I must suck and they must be great. And, you know, that's just the way it is. And I can't wait for her to get out of the house and realize, oh, no. They were awful. Like, they were actually wrong. And Big D didn't carry me to the end. Like, that's not actually what happened. Like, I just want her to see that, like, they're lying to you. They don't know anything. They know less than you about what's happened in the house.
Well, I asked the audience this question. Is Big D the worst player of all time? And 86% said yes, he is the worst player.
Like, who would be in contention of being worse? Like, I just, there's nobody that Raven, actively tanks Victoria. Their own game.
But
Raven was,
I agree,
a little lost.
I completely agree. Like, Raven was not this bad. Victoria was nowhere near this bad. This is easily. For me, there's nobody that comes close.
Well, because I feel like also if they were in his position at the end and they were guaranteed a final two situation, like they wouldn't screw it up like he has. Like, I just feel like Victoria wouldn't have like gotten into arguments with the person who like controlled their fate, and she wouldn't have been like, yeah, no, I dragged you around. Like, she would have just sat there and like done her hair or something. And like Raven, like I feel like Raven would have tried to like suck up to whoever is like has their fate in their hands. Like, I just feel like they wouldn't play this terribly. Like, yeah, sure, they were really, really awful and they're in contention for worse, but like the fact that they, you know, wouldn't do this and just completely tank their game in the final three, like, I mean, yeah, it's bad.
Well, and also with Big D, I actually don't think he's seen a full season. And I think that maybe Raven and Victoria watched a season or two in Sequester. And I think that just having that leg up to know at the final three, they're not to tank your own game, is something that they have over Big D for sure. So Big D's bad.
All right. Well, let's rate Xavier here this week. It is a tricky one because it's not like he is the one making this happen. I wanted him to be. I remember last week I was asked, what do you want to have happen, Taryn? And I said, I would love for Azza to win part three of the final three situation, for Xavier to have talked her into taking him. That's what I want. That's what I am looking for the most. But I cannot for the life of me, give him the credit for this. I will give him the credit that he has provided Azza the, he has not screwed it up in the way that Big D has. He has said, you do deserve to be here. He has done what, unfortunately, in my opinion, any reasonable person would do in this scenario. In fact, I think he's done less than most reasonable people would do. Most reasonable people would take it a step further and lock it in. But he has done that, and he has cuddled with her, and he has charmed her, and I will definitely give him credit for that. But unfortunately, most of the credit here has to go to Big D first, and then Azza, and then give Xavier like 2% or something. So I can't give him the majority of the credit. However, he is almost completely locked in to win this game now, which is, it's not that often that it happens that exactly that way, in terms of like, we really know how the jury vote will go, or at least we think we do. And if it is the case that Azza takes him, then he is locked into the end, and he should be locked into win. And that is very strong and very powerful. And I don't think that he has made a lot of mistakes here in the final three either. I mean, I'm not judging his overall game performance in this 1 week's rating. I'm judging his current week's performance. And I think this is genuinely one of his strongest weeks in the game, in that he is not screwing it up. He is probably going to win. So, for me, his proximity to the win, I gave him a 7 last time, thinking that Azza was going to be there and not take him. I'm going to go up to an 8 here for Xavier, as it looks like Azza will take him and he is locked in. So, an 8 for me for Xavier. He is just, he's very likely the winner here. It's hard to go too much lower than that. For me. But Melissa, what do you think?
I feel like I do think that he will end up winning the game. I don't feel like it's based on anything that he's done. And the fact that like he couldn't, I don't know. I feel like he would have been in a better position had it had been Big D and him competing for the final HOH. And instead we've got Azza competing against him, someone who might not take him. It seems like she's going to, but like, it does seem like there's a chance that she doesn't take him. Whereas before, I was thinking that it was going to be him versus Big D in the final. And then obviously he goes either way and wins. So, I don't know. I feel like there is like a chance that Azza wins this. However, like the odds are he's going to pull it through. I just don't feel like it's anything that he's really done recently that's really going to give him that win. I just think it's like circumstances at this point. Cause I honestly think that I do think that getting Kylan out was a good move for him, because, you know, obviously it's him versus Azza and Big D versus him versus Kylan. And I do think that with him versus Kylan in the end, that would have been a really, I don't know. I think Xavier still wins, but I don't know. So yeah, I don't know. I don't feel comfortable going up in my rating or anything like that, just because I feel like I felt better about him last week, even though he's like probably going to win it. But I think that there's still that chance now that Azza wins. And I think now that Azza's won some competitions, I think also she could use that and be like, look, like I purposefully, I mean, she's not going to do any of this, like, you know that, but like she could argue like I purposely laid low for the first half and then I pulled through and won competitions when I needed to, or whatever she would have said. I feel like she could pull a Paris speech, even though it wouldn't be, Paris did way more and was a much better player, but the fact that Paris's speech went along the lines of like, I laid low and then I was like making moves behind the scenes. And then I like, you know, won competitions when I needed to in the end is what Azza could say, even though it's not entirely accurate, but whatever. I don't know. I'm not feeling good about Xavier. I have to say, like, I feel like I felt so much better about him before. And now I feel like he's kind of taking his foot off the gas, even though he's like so close to the end. And that concerns me a little bit. I'm just going to go with a 6.
A 6 for Xavier from Melissa. I will say, I think that there's basically, I don't think there's any chance that Azza beats Xavier in the final two is when she takes him to the final two. You know what I mean? Like,
Azza taking
Xavier is the thing that prevents any possibility, I think, of her winning against him. And I don't think that he is taking her. But we will talk about that, in the jury vote segments. But for anybody that was surprised, by my rating, it's again, for me, it's short-term safety, long-term prospects, how well they played the game this week. For me, how well he played the game this week is basically neutral. His short-term safety is very high. His long-term prospects are very high. So that's why it had to be the eight here for me. The six also has an argument there. Chantel, how do you feel about it?
I don't feel great about Xavier. And usually when I'm rating the people at the end, there's at least somebody that I'm like, ooh, I want to give them a high because they're doing what they needed to do. They're saying what they need to say. They're making sure that everybody's taking them to the end. They're really ensuring that they're locked in to at least have one of those five final two chairs. And he just hasn't been doing that. And I'm not really down for the passive game strategy. Like, I don't want people throwing competitions. I don't want people to be laying low completely. I want to see them actively doing things to be able to get them to the end and win. And so watching his game, it's just kind of like, he's pretty damn lucky that he just is in the perfect position just to be taken to the end. And he's going to win $750,000. And he didn't really do that much, in my opinion, to not deserve it, because everybody deserves it in their own right. But like, he just didn't do enough for me to be excited about giving him a high rating here. So yes, he's most likely going to win this game. He hasn't really done that much to make it happen for himself. So I'm with Melissa here. I'm giving him a six because I'm like, I'm really not impressed. I'm kind of bored by it. And it's kind of like, well, we know you're going to win, but you didn't really do anything to make that happen. So six.
Mm-hmm. All right. A six from Chantel as well. So the audience is going to have to break this here. Where does the audience stand on Xavier? I can tell you the audience is actually a lot closer to you guys than they are to me. But the audience did go with a 7 overall for Xavier. There it is. And I will again remind people, like, this is the final rating of the season. We are also going to give final ratings of the players overall postseason. That's where I previously thought I would go as high as an 8 for Xavier, but let me tell you, probably not. But for this week, in terms of his positioning, that's where I stood. But there you go. That is, I think it ends up being about the same. Melissa went down, and then we overall stayed around the same. And that is our ratings here, for the Stockwatch in the final three.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18+ terms and conditions apply. See website for details. With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18+. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Okay. All right. Let's briefly take this down and discuss some of the other questions here on the survey. I asked the audience to rank the players from their favorite to their least favorite here in the final three. What do we think? What's the order here? I want the order from both of you.
I think, don't even know.
Azza X Big D.
Big D. That's probably what they're going to say. I agree with you.
Okay. Azza X Big D is correct.
Yeah.
That is the
order.
It gets
easier as it gets smaller.
Okay. I asked the audience to rate the episodes this week, and the audience gave the episodes a 4.2.
Yeah, they're real bad.
you know, it could have been worse than a 4.2. But
pretty bad.
I think the Final Four episode kind of like stands up and helps out the overall average. Also, the recap episode is not as bad as previous ones have been. I asked the audience to rate the feeds this week. Actually went up to a 4.0, up from the 3.5 last week. So people actually enjoyed the feeds a little bit more this week for whatever reason. I asked the audience to rate the season as a whole so far and stayed exactly the same at a 6.2. So
I think it's higher than that personally. Like, I do think I've enjoyed this season. You know, I was like watching the feeds all day, all night, like in the first 2 months, we'll say. And it's just kind of only been near the end game where I haven't been as plussed about it. But I think it's a pretty good season, better than a six.
Well, that's how the audience feels at this time. I asked the audience to rate the competitions this week. And they gave the competitions a 4.4. Yeah,
they weren't good.
Not into the competitions. Okay, ask the audience, now that Kylan has been evicted from the game, how would you rate him as a player? Out of 10, giving Kylan a player rating in total, 1 being your Big D's of the world, 10 being your Dan Gieslings of the world, where does Kylan fall?
It's unfortunate because I feel like his rating goes down based on his recent performance, you know, with him saying that he wanted to take X to the end and all this other stuff, like, oh, you want to beat the best, you have to take the best to the end or whatever. That stuff definitely makes me not respect him as much as a player. I do think that I felt very good about his gameplay. I felt like he was really good at manipulating people and, you know, he was pretty ruthless, honestly, when it came to playing. But the fact that his end game strategy was just so awful, just really brings down his rating for me. I think, and 'cause that's something that I don't think is like just based on like X alone, like, oh, my relationship with X is so good that I want to bring him to the end. It's like, I want to bring the strongest player to the end so I can beat them. Like, that alone is an issue that would haunt him in future seasons if he plays again. So I do think that would bring my rating for him down. I think he's probably like a 6 player. 6, 7, I don't know.
Yeah, I was thinking 5 or 6, to be honest, because I think that, you know, he did have the support of the cookout. And I think that it allows him to make some of these decisions. He was always going to be protected. And this is what I've been saying about a lot of these players, is that they never really had to sweat it because they knew that they had the votes, or they knew that they were going to be able to maneuver it or be easily maneuver it to, so that they would have just one cookout and non-cookout on the block. And most likely they're going to be staying. So I don't know if we were to watch him again, especially if he has these same desire to take, like, you know, his biggest competitor to the end, I don't think that he'll be able to repeat that and do that and get to the end. So I don't think he's actually a good player with his motivation not being to win and doing what the best thing for his game is to win. So I think, I don't think I'm gonna be a 5. I don't think I can give him a 6 even, because it's like his motivation doesn't really strike me good.
Yeah, it's for me, it like Kylan the player minus thinking he's Goku is an 8. He was very effective at times. He was also a very flawed player. He got himself into trouble week one. He fluctuated off and on, with effective, and then, pissing people off and kind of like, getting into trouble and then being effective again and then pissing people off and getting into trouble. And overall his game was very, very flawed, very effective in some ways, very flawed in others. He was definitely a very vital part of the cookout's success. And they would not have succeeded as much as they did without him there to get them as far as they could. However, he did try to be Goku, and that is consistent with who he is because of long-term thinking. Because of that, you have to dock at least 2 points off of his score. Because now I don't think that this was not always his plan. Like this evolved, I think, over time a bit. I mean, he did say in his pregame interviews that he would take his friend. He would be loyal. He would like do the honorable thing in the end. So maybe it was, maybe it will always happen here with Kylan. But I have to, I can only give him a six given the fact that he just like, and not for like, this is a separate situation where it's like, if he had tanked his game for the sake of the cookout, a one time, never to be repeated, you know, a thing that has a lot of historical meaning attached to it, that a lot of different people came in and they all sacrificed to make it happen. I'm not penalizing him for the cookout at all. Mm-hmm. I am penalizing him for his own personal decision post cookout to be the honorable person and be the gentleman and take the best to the end, because that is something that is clearly within him, that will always be within him, and definitely speaks to him as a player. And so it's down to a six for me.
I can see the six, but I just don't want to give him a six.
All right. I asked the audience, who do you want to see to be evicted this week? And 68% said Big D. 26% said Xavier. They would like for Xavier to go, I imagine, because they want Azza to win. But Azza, unfortunately, doesn't agree.
Doesn't want that. Like, how can we want to win, to her to win more than she does? It's just so wild.
Yeah. I asked, who do you think will win Big Brother 23? 93% say Xavier. 93%. 0.1% said Big D.
Those seven people.
let me count how many people actually. Hold on. There were. Oh, sorry. It was one person. This was one person said Big D.
Yikes.
So I asked, who do you want to win Big Brother 20? Who do you want to win Big Brother 23? And 63% said Azza. People are rooting for Azza to win. Only 36% said Xavier. And
that's funny. I would have thought it would be Xavier.
It is not. Here we go. Seven people said Derek F.
Okay, so it's the same seven people.
0.69%. I asked about the jury votes. Okay, let's talk through these jury votes, right? This should be the easiest segment of jury vote counting we have ever done, personally, I think. Here are the scenarios. Azza wins the final three HOH. She cuts Xavier and takes Big D. The audience thinks that Azza wins the game 5-2 with Kylan and Xavier voting for Big D, and Brittany, Derek X, Sarah Beth, Claire, Alyssa, Tiffany, and Hannah all voting. I said 5-2. I did the Big D thing. 7-2. 7-2 with those seven voting for Azza to win and Kylan and Xavier voting for Big D to win. I think this is probably true.
Would Kylan and Xavier really vote for Big D?
That's like, true.
Like, really? In the end? I don't know.
That is, they probably don't vote together. Also, I don't know. I don't know. It depends on if they realize that they're voting together at that point.
I feel like I could see it going either way, because I could see Kylan being mad at Big D, being like, oh, you're the one who got me out, so I'm not going to vote for you. However, he also
he's the one that convinced Big D to do it.
Yeah, well, I also think that he could also think like, oh, well, Big D made the right move for his game because he knew that I was a threat or whatever, and like, and take it as like a badge of honor. So like, I don't know. It's hard to say how he would feel.
I think Kylan will be inclined to vote Big D. I think if Xavier feels like the momentum is toward Azza, although Azza will have just cut him. No, I think he votes Big D. I think it's probably 7-2.
Yeah, that sounds right.
I can see that.
Okay. Other scenario. Xavier cuts Big D and takes... Azza cuts Big D and takes Xavier to the end. Azza versus Xavier. The audience thinks that Xavier wins 7-2. So she can take Big D and win 7-2, or she can take Xavier and lose 7-2. They think that Brittany and Kyland vote Azza over Xavier. And I will say again, I am inclined to agree.
I think that's right.
Yeah. With Derek X, Sarah Beth, Claire, Alyssa, Tiffany, Hannah, and Big D all voting to crown Xavier as the winner of the game. Okay. Let's say Xavier wins part three of the final three HOH. Xavier wins. Let's say he wins and cuts Azza to take Big D, the more likely outcome here. The audience thinks that Xavier then wins the game 8-1.
Yeah,
Kyland. 8-1, with only Kyland voting for Big D, which I think definitely possible. I think there's a chance that Brittany could go for Big D, but it depends on how, you know, what kind of question Azza asks Big D.
And also there's a possibility that like Kyland might be, you know, have to choose between the two of them, maybe feeling betrayed by both of them. And so maybe he will go with the fact that, like, you know, Xavier played a better game in his eyes, and maybe he would give that to Xavier, but it would probably still be an 8-1.
Mm. So other scenario, Xavier cuts Big D and takes Azza. This one is very unlikely, but in the event that it happens, the audience thinks that that Xavier still wins the game. They actually, in this scenario, they actually think Xavier wins the game 8-1, which is weird because when Azza takes Xavier, they thought Kyland would vote for Azza. But when Xavier takes Azza, they think he votes for Xavier. Not entirely sure why. but they do think that. So with Brittany being the only vote for Azza in this case.
Yeah, I mean,
I think votes for Azza either way, personally. Yeah, I think it's still 7-2.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, especially the way it was left, I could see Kyland voting for anyone but Xavier. But
I also think it makes a difference, like, how much he was able to interact with the jury. You know, mm-hmm. did he just show up at the round table, which is what we expect, and he only got like an hour or so? Or did he maybe have a little bit more time to like really let it sink in that like you are not a good person if you are going to be bitter about this? So I think it depends on what that round table discussion was. But I think he's definitely inclined, based on his exit interviews, to not vote for Xavier to win the game. Mm-hmm. So there you go. Again, easiest jury predictions we have ever done here.
Seriously.
Let's take a look at the Stockwatch leaderboard. I don't expect much has changed here.
Don't look at mine.
I have not seen a move in the past like 5 weeks.
Oh boy.
I mean, I might have a little like $40, but like I was praying that going all in on Chada was going to be like, yes, she'll win the that move, part, and she'll stay in the game, and then she'll just like make her way to the end and just win out. That's what I was hoping for. And nope. So.
Yes. Well, the top three all stayed the same here. Looks like most people up here on Xavier. The leaderboard were in on Xavier, who I don't think he made much. He stayed at that 7. We get a few people who held. I'm still here. I went in on Xavier. I've moved up 6 places. I spent my remaining money on 1 Azza. Shouldn't have done that.
Pretty good.
Okay, let's take a look here at Melissa.
I'm low.
Who, look at this. Look at this, Melissa. You're about so many Melissas.
I am the superior Melissa by at least half.
Oh, yeah. You definitely lost some money here with Azza. You moved down 287 places.
Yeah, but I also didn't keep buying Azza, so I just have like those 69 Azzas and that's it, even though I could have bought more.
Want to sell them, or maybe you don't want to sell them. Maybe Azza.
No, yeah, because I think she.
Can I just do a quick projection? If Azza wins the game, you will.
I will like destroy. Yeah, so I got to keep that. I'm keeping that because if Azza wins,
you will increase your net worth by 400%.
Yeah, wow. Stocks are going up, people.
Chantel here with $62.
Wow.
Yeah, I didn't even move anything around after the Chada left. I just kind of left everything the same. I didn't touch anything. I was like, okay, this is over. I have like $40 at the time, and then I got my $20.
There you go.
Not quite the best.
Yeah, I mean, I was doing okay until that move.
Okay, well, that's all we really had there for the leaderboard. It's looking pretty interesting as we head into the finale. Man, if Big D won, you'd multiply your 667%.
Oh my god!
So hey,
if he wins, though, something went seriously wrong.
It's like, yeah. I can't line that up in any sort of way.
All right. Thank you guys for hanging out with the Stock Watch all season long. I appreciate the players of the game. And congrats to whoever ends up taking the crown here. I assume that hold on, I think it's Matthew here in first place. Assuming that Xavier is the winner here. No major changes should happen unless somebody decides to really gamble. I mean, if Azza wins, I mean, we will see a massive reshuffling of the board, because there are a lot of people that could skyrocket above pretty much every. I mean, Xavier would lose a ton of money. Xavier would you'd lose 71% of your investment on Xavier, and people who went on Azza up 400%. So that would just be like I don't even know. There's no comparison. I mean,
I'm gonna win this Stock Watch. Just you watch.
Literally, I think anybody with any amount of money could win if Azza.
Literally, won. Okay, so like we don't know.
Should
anymore.
I go all in on Azza right now?
Yeah. Seriously, just put all your $55 or whatever on Azza. However much you had.
Keep a sharp eye on who Azza plans to take to the final two, because that's a big one. All right. Any final thoughts on the week here, Melissa?
Not really. I'm just very excited to see who wins America's Favorite Player. I just am excited to see the jury roundtable and, you know, the interview with the pre-jurors. I hope they do a good job, but I always love when, like, they bring the pre-jurors in and they have the pre-jurors basically, like, tell the remaining house guests, like, how wrong they were about a lot of stuff and how, like, certain, like, basically reveal, like, what the fans think of everyone and, like, who played a good game and who played a bad game and whatever. Like, they haven't been doing that lately, I feel. But, like, I always love when they kind of let the pre-jurors do some talking. So I do hope we get to see some of that. And then, obviously, more jury all the time. So I'm excited to see who wins.
All right, Chantel, any final thoughts?
Yeah, I'm definitely excited to see how this 2-hour finale is going to go down. I mean, there's going to be a lot of content that I'm going to be intrigued to watch. And so I think it will be exciting. I think especially if it goes down to, like, even maybe a tiebreaker for that final head of household, I think it could be exciting. And so I am looking forward to sitting back and watching and see what happens. Even though I'm not that excited about the winners, I think that it's going to be a great episode. I want to see all the other players, because it was a season of a cast that I really enjoyed. And so I hope that their questions are really great. And, you know, I want to see all the pre-jurors coming back, and I want to see if Christian does anything for, you know, any kind of proposal or will you be my girlfriend thing with Alyssa. So, you know, I'm looking forward to seeing how the season concludes. Even if it's not my ideal winner, I think it's a top season for me.
All right. Well, that's what we have for you here. The final Stock Watch roundtable of the season, during the season. As I said, we will be back post-season. We will try not to wait too long. There's not a lot that we need post-season to, I think, understand. Sometimes we need to, like, understand the jury vote, but I don't think we really need to understand this season. So probably just sometime next Tuesday is probably where we'll schedule the final post-season roundtable, where we will rate all of the players based on their overall ability as a player, not necessarily just how they did in this season, but how we would rate them as a player overall. We will give the season a final rating and all kinds of good stuff there for the postseason content. If you want to contribute, I will tweet out the survey sometime after the finale and you can fill it out yourself and give your opinions. And then we'll go through it all next week on the final wrap-up roundtable for the season. I will, of course, be live tomorrow morning at 11 a.m. Eastern to update you on everything that happened today on the Big Brother 23 live feeds. They are still talking about Oz's decision. She's still kind of like coming back and forth. Xavier is, now that it's been dangled in front of him, he is now fighting for it. So there's that. We will see what happens with that. But I will also be running through Big D's game over the course of the season. And you won't want to miss it. It should be so insightful as he really ran this whole thing. So tune in for that. And then, of course, I will be live tomorrow during the episode on Twitch, twitch.tv/Taryn Armstrong. I'll be live during Survivor and then the Big Brother finale, watching it with you guys. And then after the episodes, we'll be live to recap finale on the podcast. And then we should also have some exit interviews with the final three and America's favorite player sometime overnight / the next morning at some point, probably. So keep your eyes peeled for that. I've got a Survivor podcast coming to you on Thursday, the Survivor Stock Watch, which is a lot of fun. If you like the Stock Watch, if you like this concept of running through each player, rating them, judging them based on what they're doing, check out the Survivor Stock Watch. I should have my good pal, Kevin Martin, joining me. If you know Kevin from Big Brother Canada, so make sure you tune into that on Thursday. And then the Circle finale is also going to be airing tomorrow. We'll have Circle coverage for you on Friday. It never ends, guys. I'll also have some deep dives with some of these players over the next couple of weeks, I'm sure. So keep a lookout for all of it. And at some point I will sleep as my body deteriorates. But Chantel, where can people find you?
You can find me on Instagram at ShanFranFran. Has all my links there. If you want to go over to YouTube, Reality Realness with 3 S's is my channel where we definitely go live most days talking about reality TV, of course.
All right. And you can, of course, find Melissa at It's Melissa with 3 A's. Thank you, everyone, for joining us here today. And not another day, but those who are joining us another day, thank you as well. Just maybe not quite as much, but I still appreciate you. Thank you again. We'll see you next time.
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to ChumbaCasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Ch-ch-chumba. ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18+ terms and conditions apply. See website for details. Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered ChumbaCasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to ChumbaCasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18+ terms and conditions apply. See website for details.